Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our current events update, and then our study in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, titled, But Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. The conclusion of this two-part message can be found at BBFOhio.com. As we now begin, this is part 1 of 2.
Current events update. Number one, Israel at war as of 3/27/24, day 173, the 134 hostages, the official number, remain. And Israel was ready to release hundreds of Palestinians for 40 hostages. Now think of that. Wow. That's the way it's always been. The Palestinians have always gotten like anywhere from 50 to 150 for one. That's the trade. And well, that wasn't enough. And so the report was that Israel has agreed to release some 700 to 800 Palestinian prisoners in return for 40 Jews. Or I believe they're mostly Jews. There might be a few others. There's a few Americans involved in this as well. As part of a temporary ceasefire agreement in the Gaza Strip. But Hamas, one of my theories is that it's because they're dead. And so, in the meantime, those in Iran who are actually the money and power behind Islamic terrorism in Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, they continue to see tensions between Israel and Iran directly grow. This happened in Syria. IDF strikes Iran-linked operatives, and more than 15 were killed. At least 15 were killed. And the IRGC is the Iranian alphabet label for their units over there, involved in attempts to smuggle advanced arms into the West Bank so that they can then attack Israel. And that's why the IDF cut them off. This is happening as our leadership in this country, the Biden administration, turns the U.S. government against Israel. The UN passed a ceasefire resolution, and the United States abstained and refused to veto it. And it really shocked even the people who voted for it. A lot of them voted for it thinking that the United States would veto it, and it wouldn't matter. But Gallant, who is the IDF spokesperson, is still here trying to smooth over tensions after Netanyahu called everybody else back, called off the talks. And, you know, he's trying to, for the sake of the cause in Israel, trying to smooth things over. He stresses the importance of U.S. support between meetings with top Biden officials who use opportunity to pass along tough messages on Gaza humanitarian aid. And it's just hogwash. There's humanitarian aid going over there, and Hamas steals it and uses it. It's not even getting to the people who need it. And then on top of that, you know, in no other war was this, this didn't happen to us when we were fighting, you know, even in Vietnam. Even in Vietnam, they didn't have this kind of, our own government tied our soldiers' hands behind their backs. But they didn't have these kind of humanitarian concerns, and they never have in any war. Of course, it's, Americans have prided themselves on being unlike the Nazis and the Russian Soviets who just would kill and rape and murder at will. And the Japanese did a lot of that too, by the way. And so did the Viet Cong and so forth, North Koreans. But not that our history and our soldiers were above reproach. There were a lot of bad things happened there too, but nowhere near in, I guess you'd say, like by percentage of, or ratio, however you want to put it, there was a lot smaller instances, number of instances. But anyway, over there, Hamas hides behind people, hides in hospitals and schools. So if you're going to fight them, then you're going to hit schools and hospitals. It's the only way to get them. So if polls are to be believed, then the American people are also turning against Israel. This came out today. A Gallup poll shows that the majority in the U.S. now disapprove of Israel's actions in Gaza. Why is that? Because, starts with the church, because the majority of pastors aren't educating their people, because those pastors are cowards and hirelings who are more concerned with tickling the ears, itching the ears, and also offerings.
Amen.
That's what they're concerned with. And I know I'm not talking to a bunch of people who actually need to hear this, but I could tell you this, if you did need to hear it, I could care less if you stopped giving a dime. I'm not going to stop telling the truth.
Amen.
and so forth and so on and what have you. A recent poll by Gallup found a shift in general public opinion in the United States toward disapproving of Israeli military action in Gaza as compared to the survey taken in November. The shift made the partisan split, of course, because the Democrat Party is made up of a bunch of godless, Christ-rejecting fools. And among the Republican Party, there are Christ-rejecting fools, and they also are involved in this. That's who it is. The shift made the partisan split even more evident, with 64% of Republicans approving of Israel's military. That means that 36% of Republicans are fools.
Amen.
And as opposed to just 18% of Democrats, which means 82% of Democrats are fools.
Amen.
And independents in the middle at 29%, which means 71% of independents are fools. These numbers were compared to a similar Gallup poll, as I said, taken in November. I'm going to have more about what's going on in Palestine. But I want to show you this. In the meantime, more crazy, stupid, white, liberal women stand with Islamic terrorists. If you're a white woman and you got offended by what I just said, it's because you're stupid. I didn't say white women, I said crazy white liberal women. And crazy white liberal women are the curse of this country right now.
Amen.
It's not, there's plenty of crazy black women and crazy Latino women and crazy Jewish women, but the numbers are with the crazy, stupid white women in this country. And it's their vote that really is the difference when it comes to elections. You want to know why abortion is codified in the Constitution of the state of Ohio? I'll give you one guess. Crazy, stupid, white, liberal women.
Amen.
And I'm so sick of, since the 80s, I've had to bootlick all these feminist white women. It was almost all feminist white women in my schools. Almost all feminist white women on TV. They're idiots. They're fools. And if they don't repent, they'll go to hell.
Amen.
So don't follow them.
Amen.
Look at this stupidity. They're shaving their heads in solidarity with the devil-possessed Hamas and Palestinians.
Stop the blockade. Stop the blockade.
Stop harming Israel.
At first I thought they said stop harming Israel, but it's stop arming Israel. That's what they stop arming is what they say. And as I said Sunday, they're listening. In Canada, they're no longer going to sell arms to Israel. In America, it's coming soon. Still feel sorry for those poor, innocent Palestinians? Well, we just showed you these stupid white women shaving their heads. In the latest poll conducted in Gaza and the West Bank, 71% of Palestinians still support the October 7th massacre, where hundreds of women were raped and over 1,200 men, women, and children lost their lives after being raped. The poll was conducted by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research. 71% still support what Hamas is doing. So don't tell me about those poor Palestinians dying over there. They're not innocent. They're not poor, innocent Palestinians. And the children, yeah, you can make an argument for that, but you know what? If they're under the age or under the capacity of accountability, then they'll go to heaven.
Amen.
Probably doing them a favor.
Amen.
To be raised to be Muslim devils who strap on bombs and that kind of thing. And we have the chart regarding Palestinians being a fictitious thing that's just made up. And the land has been under the possession of these groups. And if you flip that on your side, you'll see it there with the timeline. And you'll notice from the time of the Canaanites, who are extinct, so they'd have no... You have to exist to lay land of the claim to the land, so they don't exist, so you don't have to worry about Canaanites anymore. And then you go down through there from the time that Israel was in the land, one after the other, and you will not see one time where there was a group called Palestinians or a country or a nation called Palestine. Not once. Total fiction. That's why we stand with Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, so many stories, so little time. But at a glance, just a couple things we'll cover here. Was this just an accident?
No.
You heard about this, most of you. If not, you need to breathe and listen and open your eyes. There's a world. Things are going on. And this was all over the news last night and this morning. But this bar slammed into a bridge and hit the one of two pylons that would bring it down. And we're supposed to believe that was on accident.
No.
And the more you watch the... Here it is. He's coming up right on right now. But the more you watch this video, you realize, look at all the space. And he hit that one little tiny area where the pylon is. And here you're about... There it is. Boom. And there you go. Now... Thankfully, they say that they blocked traffic, and the only people that were on the bridge at the time were people who were working, and there was like six of them, I think, and they haven't found them. They've called it off, this rescue mission. Now it's just a recovery mission. They want to recover those bodies. Here's what I was thinking. So I went ahead and copied this tweet that I was thinking, because immediately they came out and said it wasn't terrorism. They're like, well, wait a minute, how do you know that? I wasn't ready to say it was terrorism, but how do you know it's not? Like this lady says, they declared it wasn't an attack before any investigation could possibly be done. What does that tell you?
Amen.
Yeah, that's where I lean after that. So we're going to keep our eye out. On MeWe, I gave a thread, Laura Logan, if you know how to find her on X/Twitter, you can find a lot of other interesting information. She has contacts. Laura Logan, some of you recognize her name. She's an investigative journalist. She has contacts that she says are in intelligence, and they're telling her there's no way this was an accident.
Amen.
So we'll see more about that. But that kind of reminds me of safe, secure elections. Before they did any investigation, you were told to shut up. These were the safest, most secure elections in our lifetime, even though we wouldn't and didn't ever investigate them. That's what they told you. Well, that tells me right there, somebody's lying to me, because I know there's no way they could know that at that time.
Amen.
And now we know. But more and more information trickles out. This is just an example.
Yesterday, the British Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden confirmed that China hacked into the UK's election system in both 2021 and 2022. In a statement, he said, quote, I can confirm today that Chinese state-affiliated actors were responsible for two malicious cyber campaigns targeting our democratic institutions and parliamentarians. Now, why did British authorities wait until 2024 to confirm these hacks? Probably because they didn't want the British public to know their election system was just as insecure as America's election system in 2020. Meanwhile, in California, there was a Senate primary election being held. The compulsive liar Adam Schiff was competing against retired baseball legend Steve Garvey for the top spot, and the votes are still being counted 3 weeks later. Now, let me repeat. A Senate primary was held on March 5th. It's March 26th today, and they have yet to finish counting the ballots in California. That's the essence of fraud. Hey, that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of Democrat Representative Katie Porter, who announced that the election was rigged on Twitter X after coming in third place in the election. How can you disagree with her? I mean, she should know. Porter clarified her statement later by adding, quote, rigged means manipulated by dishonest means. A few billionaires, she says, spent 10 plus million on attack ads against her, including an ad rated false by an independent fact checker. That is dishonest, she said, means to manipulate an outcome. Now, welcome to the election denier conspiracy crowd, Katie. Happy to have you here.
The one thing's for sure is that our elections are not safe and secure. That's just a fact. In the meantime, the world is seeing this as Christianity. Here's how Easter is next Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then for a week and a half, 2 weeks, a lot of churches have Easter plays and everything. Here's one, and this is going on all over the country. Church puts on a Western-themed Easter play that sees Cowboy Jesus getting shot and crucified. Musical numbers like Gangnam Style are in the play. A white guy dressed up as an Asian shopkeeper doing Russell Peters' infamous comedy sketch and others. That's just one of them where they turn the Bible story into a Western where it gets worse. Some churches are crucifying Batman and making Batman the resurrected Savior for Easter. So, and then there's this.
We were in Malawi, Africa, doing a healing festival with about 80,000 people, most of them Muslims. I got up to speak, and when I got up, it was like the heavens opened. All these angels began to come down, and the Holy Spirit said to me, take authority over witchcraft. And as I got up, it was interesting because there was this tree that was on the side of the stage, and there was this bird, a crow, that was up there, and he was cawing away. And as I took authority over the witchcraft, and I said the name of Jesus, listen, this crow morphed into a man, fell out of the tree, and the man was naked and ran off into the woods. And what's wild about that is that there are shape-shifting witch doctors in that region, and most people were terrified of them. But because the Lord knocked that guy out of that shape-shifting appearance, over 50,000 Muslims gave their lives to Jesus that night.
You need boots up to here to get through that crap if you was in that place where he's talking. These guys will just blasphemously tell any wild story you want to hear. And there's people out there like, wow, that's amazing. Praise the Lord. A shape-shifting witch doctor was a crow, and he got rebuked and fell out of the tree naked and ran off. And that because of that, 50,000 Muslims were saved. Ain't a bit of evidence that that ever happened. There's no documentation, no eyewitnesses to it. Folks, you wonder why a lot of people, when you try to talk to them about Jesus and they won't talk to you, you may not understand it, but that's a lot of the reason why a lot of people won't talk to you. They think that's what you are in on. I've had people, you know, say, I don't really have any desire to go to church. And when I ask them why, they describe what they expect to see, and that's what it is, that kind of stuff. The charismatic movement has done more damage than Satanism. Amen. I stand behind and in front of that remark.
Amen.
The charismatic movement has done more damage to the cause of Christ than Satanism has.
Yep.
Because Satanism is in the raw right in front of your face, whereas this tries to pretend to be Christianity. And people think that's what it is. Same thing's happened with the Catholic Church. You know, you either run into people who see this stuff or you run into people who have been damaged by the Catholic Church. It's once in a while you'll see, you know, someone who is damaged in a fundamentalist cult or damaged in a holiness church of some kind. But most of the time you'll see charismania and the Catholic Church are behind why you knock on a door or you try to talk to somebody and they just rather take that thing and wand it up, throw it at you, try to give them a track. And there's this. This is contemporary Christian concert, and this is not abnormal. This is the kind of thing you see. People go to these concerts. You know, Christians are taking their, fornicating and sodomite friends to these concerts because they feel right at home.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that they see when they go. Grinding on the stage. You know, like it's a, you know, typical, you know, dance club out here where that kind of thing happens. And then locally, you probably, some of you might have seen this. Former Worthington Christian girls basketball coach has been arrested, accused of having sex with a student. And it carried on a sexual relationship from the time she was 16 to out of school. And I don't know, you know, all the information, but I know having sex with one of your students while they're a minor and you're not married to them is wrong. Amen. And then, so this is the kind of stuff people out here in Worthington, around the Central Ohio area, they see all this other stuff I'm talking about, but then they see this kind of stuff, and you try to talk to them about the Lord, and they're like, you know, who needs that? You know, most people are like, I'm as good as these people without religion, you know, without God. Many tens of thousands of professing Christians sit under this type of preacher. This is what's going on largely in black churches, but it's happening in most of the mainline Protestant churches of any color, men and women standing up in the pulpits. A lot of them are sodomites. This guy is a bit effeminate, but I don't know that he's a, you know, flamer. I don't know anything about him, but he's definitely on the whole Black Lives Matter get up. Now listen to what he says here.
You all today, as we reflect on the storming of the Capitol by supremacists, you all, I find myself grieved, angry, exhausted, and fearful in the wake of the events that have transpired in Washington, D.C. You're going to see them now. We have seen the horrific images. And I say today, shame on every preacher and pastor who primarily through their silence and in other ways through their words and actions have created a golden calf out of the current administration because of their desire of economic gain, have been silent in preaching the whole gospel.
Whole gospel.
Who through theological and hermeneutical heresy have nurtured a false doctrine that has separated Jesus from justice. I say shame on you. And may God have mercy on your souls. I hold you in contempt because it is the sheep of your flock who have done these acts and so many others with the audacity to do them in the name of Jesus. But as my shirt declares, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Now, because I don't know. These actions are not like the Christ that we serve. They are not like the Christ of the Bible. Because Jesus, you better listen to me clearly. Jesus will never storm the capital of your heart. Can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? Leaders whose decrees permit injustice? They gang up against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death.
Now listen.
But the Lord is my fortress. My God is the mighty rock where I hide. God will turn the sins of evil people back on them. He will destroy them for their sins. The Lord our God will destroy them.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
I'm not worried. That guy should be. I guarantee you, you ask him, do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe Jesus was God and the only true Savior of the world? Do you believe in it's okay for women to abort their babies? Do you think it's okay to have gay marriage? Ask him all those questions. Gun control, all those. Guarantee you that most, if not all those issues, he's going to land with the devil.
Amen.
Every one of those, if not
Amen.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's in these churches and in quotes. And the Bible tells us this, though, also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and that's where we are. There's a time when you'd never hear that in any church. But you're hearing it now, all kinds of churches preaching that stuff. All right, Micah chapter 5. We're going to see that song comes from our text. And we're going to read verses 1 through 2 as we begin Micah 5 with the messianic prophecy, including the birthplace of Jesus. But thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah. And so let's go ahead and read those first two verses. Read them with me. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Amen. So Micah picks up after chapter 4, where we left off with the Babylonian captivity, and the next big prophecy in his day. Today, what's the next big prophecy?
Rapture.
The rapture. That's the next big thing on God's... Yeah, that's possible. But as far as the church is concerned, we're looking for the rapture.
Amen.
And if you were to be living 500, 600, 700 years before Christ, you'd be looking for the Babylonian captivity. And then after that, the next big one is the coming of the Christ. And so we're going to see that in these two verses. There's the contemporary...